Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 We are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 9, in the matter of most confidential knowledge. Text number 24. Today, you witnessed the housewarming ceremony. Why? This is the sloka pertaining to it. Krishna is telling, Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhureva cha natu mam abhijananti tatvenas chavantite. I am the only enjoyer and the master of all sacrifices. Therefore, those who do not know or do not recognize my true nature, that is the transcendental nature, fall down. It says in the cognizance that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, is the enjoyer of all the sacrifices. What is this sacrifice includes? The sacrifice of what? So we should understand, and then we can discuss. And the purport Srila Prabhupada says that here it is clearly stated that there are so many types of yajna performances recommended in the Vedic literature, but actually all of them are meant for satisfying the Supreme Lord. Yajna means Vishnu. In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita it is clearly stated that one should only work for satisfying yajna, Vishnu, the perfectional form of human civilization known as Varnashram Dharma, specifically meant for satisfying Vishnu. Therefore, Krishna says in this verse, I am the enjoyer of all sacrifices because I am the Supreme Master. Less intelligent persons, however, without knowing this fact, worship demigods for temporary benefits. Therefore, they fall down to the material existence and do not achieve the desired goal of life. If, however, anyone has any material desire to be fulfilled, he had better pray to the Supreme Lord, although that is not pure devotion, and he will thus achieve the desired result anyway. So, in the third chapter, Krishna tells Arjuna that only the acts of sacrifice for the pleasure of Vishnu can one relieve from the bondage of karma. Anything else is going to bind. So even the fire sacrifices which are performed in invoking demigods, this is called Panchadeva Yajna, and householders are advise for the purificatory process that they may understand that if they do not know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, who is the enjoyer of all sacrifices, it can be given to the demigods as his representative, but the representative will give some sort of temporary benefit because their inclination is only material. Therefore, material benedictions can be given by the demigods, but they are temporary. So, aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhureva cha. Bhaktaram yajna tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam gyatvam shanti vrichati. The householders lose peace of mind even though they have good belief. A good belief system. they lose peace of mind because they lose the focal point of Krishna. You know, they should know that Krishna is the only enjoyer. If they approach through demigods, it's not direct, because the underlying fact that they approach the demigods not for liberation, not for becoming free from the activities of karma. Rather, they want to entangle more, and they think, well, Ganesh does all the removal of auspiciousness. Why don't I go through him? You know? But that removal of obstacles is material. Rather, Ganesh should be approached for removal of the obstacles of the spiritual path. Instead, kama istesir hata jnana prapadyantanya devata. Instead of approaching Lord Ganesh to remove anything that is coming as a hindering to his devotion to Lord Krishna, they become completely off track. Kama. They become off track by karma. So, whatever Ganesh is going to offer them, the result according to their sankalpa. Rata jnana, his sankalpa is rata sankalpa. Their desire for which they are performing is actually not meant for satisfying Vishnu. So, even Ganesh does not accept such sacrifice. Right? Instead of removing the obstacle, the person finds obstacles. More obstacles. So, his faith in Ganesh is also lukewarm. What to speak, the faith on the Supreme Person does not arise at all. Unless and until a devotee goes and, you know, corrects it. Look, your sankalpa was for material temporary benefit, and you approach Ganesh. But actually, whatever sacrifice in the name of demigod you did, actually it is cheating to the demigod. Demigods are receiving all this on behalf of the Supreme. But if your sankalpa is short-sighted, the demigod can't help you. They cannot help you. They are pure representative of Lord Shri Krishna in the material management. How come anybody cheat? You can bribe the demigods. You can bribe some local official. But his results are temporary. What to speak of demigods? Instead of giving benediction, Lord Ganesha shows him Trishul. It is completely other way around. You know? So Lord Shiva, so Parvati even, because they are directly connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they derive his blessing to conduct all the material affairs. They do not deviate. The demigods do not deviate. And therefore they are celebrated. It's not that because they are easily pleased, that's why they are celebrated. It is a demon's idea. That, well, Lord Shiva is very easily pleased, he's called Ashutosh, so let me cheat him easily. This is demoniac. So naturally Lord Shiva has worshippers who are in the mode of ignorance, because they have this inclination. They are attracted to the mode of ignorance. They resort to tantras and other non-spiritual methodology. Their faith is also tainted with the material modes. So they do not have any inclination to make a sankalpa to please Lord Vishnu. Prabhupada talks about varnashram dharma. Varnashram dharma is a practical application of all the Vedic principles, because the Vedas are meant for knowing Lord Krishna. Vedas are meant for knowing Lord Krishna. they evolve from our material desires, fulfillment, and thereby purification, thereby coming to the point of understanding the impersonal aspect, and then come to the point of, you know, Paramatma aspect, and then the Vedas develop into the personality of God aspect. Personality of Godhead is not manifested in anywhere. You know? So therefore, those who are resorting the Vedas, they actually get wandered off, what we call, in the small branching of the Vedic literature. And they think the flowery language of the Vedas is all in all. So one is called Vedi, another is called Dvivedi, and third is called Trivedi, and fourth is called Chaturvedi. But they are Ratagyana, Mayaya Apratagyana. They are resorting to Maya. They don't understand the purpose of the Vedas is to know Him, that personality of God, and all the sacrifices are meant for the pleasure of Him. So therefore, Varnasham Dharma, which is practical application of the Vedic Dharma, it is simply geared on one and one point only, it is to satisfy Lord Vishnu. Atah pundi dvijah sreshtha varnashama vivadasha svanatisthasya dharmasya samsiddham haditoshanam. Samsiddhi. And samsiddhi means sum total of all the perfections is by satisfying Lord Vishnu. Stay wherever you are. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, sthane sthita. But sruti gatam tanu vang manogni. Just go through the verdict of the srutis and act in that prudent way. Not whimsically. That even though I'm born in Brahmin family, but I'm doing a work of Shudra. Then I anticipate from somebody, Pandit Ji Pai Lagu, then I will tell him, Jipi Rohbeta. he is dragging a full cart, you know, and working like a laborer, and yet he thinks he is a Brahman. That is not the way to please Lord Vishnu. His Swabhavgat karmas are described. What are they? Shama, Dama, Tapa, Trocham, Shanti, Rajivam, Nevacha, Ahimsam, Astikyam, Brahma, Karma, Swabhavajam. This is. And ultimately, whatever karma, karma brahmodbhavam viddi, brahma aksharam samudbhavam, tasmat sarvagatam brahma nitya yagya pratishtivam. This is the fact that Krishna established that the Supreme is situated in yajna, sacrifices. He is there to receive. But people with short mentality, you know, impure desires, they perform yajna to harm others. But yajna in the more of ignorance, then yajna in more of passion, and yajna also in more of goodness. So it has to be well guided. Otherwise, the purpose of yajna will not be served. So those who do not know, Krishna says in this verse, those who do not know, they fall down. Who comes back in this material world from accepting one body after another? Who comes? Those who are not resolute in determination, they come back. The determination should be resolute only on the Supreme Personality of God. Whether you are akama va sarva kamaihi moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajat purusham param. One must serve the Supreme Personality of God with acute devotional service, and all his desires are fulfilled. Krishna will fulfill your desires, and then he will fulfill his. He will allow you to fulfill your desire because he is the Father, but then he will strictly fulfill his desire from you. That's why his name is Hari. Haribo!
Haribo!
Hari. So, Srila Prabhupada is telling, if somebody doesn't follow this Vedic injunction and act whimsically, you know, ये शास्त्रम विधि मुत्सृज्य वर्तते काम कारत न सिद्धिम वापनोति न सुखम न परांतति. That's why even though we have religious fervor, we believe in something, you believe in Krishna, I believe in Shiva, everything is same. But you better believe, न सुखम न सिद्धिम वापनोति. He cannot fulfill his desire. Neither he will be able to be happy, he will reach to higher destination. No way. What are these destinations? To those who are not worshipping Lord Sri Krishna. Yanti devrudani van titranyanti titruta bhutani bhute jayanti. But those who are worshipper of Krishna, they will definitely go to Krishna's abode. So we have to put up a very clear conception, and the only way to perform any activity that purifies us is only by pleasing Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna in this age wants to be pleased only by calling out his name. And what is that name?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So Krishna will be pleased, and he will give you lollipop. He gives lollipop. Right? Krishna gives everybody lollipop. And Krishna also knocks out their teeth. Right? And then he gives permanent teeth. So, the work that are not meant for sacrifice to Lord Vishnu, they are becoming the cause of bondage. Cause of bondage. And bondage means heaviness. We create, you know, burden on our head, burden on our mind. Do you think it's a very, very pleasing way to become happy when you carry a burden? You have to be free to become happy, not having a lot of burden to carry. So, Krishna says that yagyadhat karmanandyantra lokoyam karma bandhana tadartham tambam. Only for the sake of satisfying Lord Vishnu, all the work should be offered. Anyatha, anything else which is not meant for sacrifice is creating karma and karma bandha. And this reactionary cycle becomes the bondage. So, if you want to become free from the bondage, then perform yajna. Yajna vai Vishnu. Yajna is the form of Lord Vishnu. It's not only that you simply smoke by putting ghee in it. No. It's an oblation for invoking the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where every ounce of our energy is also meant to be offered. And this offering is called Sarva Yajna. Yat karoshi
yadasthasi yat johosi tadasya yat tamasyasi kaunteya tat kurusvam adarpanam.
So offering, whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we offer as homage, whatever we give in charity, and whatever we try to be do the austerity for. Everything should be offered just for his pleasure. Offered to whom?
Krishna.
You can't offer in place of Krishna anybody else. No. All right? Why? Why you cannot offer to anybody else but Krishna only?
Watering the root.
Watering the root? You think Krishna is root? Yes. Aham hi adir devanam. He says that. I'm the origin.
Aham sarvasya.
Matta sarvam pravartate iti matvavakante mam buddha bhava samyata. So where does he say that he is only a branch or only a flower? No. He is the root of the entire tree, both cosmic and spiritual. So, we have to perform everything in service of Krishna because we borrow his energy. If we do not try to pay him back, then we become indebtor. Not only indebtor, we are also called thieves. Because a habitual indebtor means all these lifetimes, 8.4 million species of life he has passed through, and then he got this human form of life, right? So all this life he never did it, so therefore he was thief. And if he continues to do in this life also, he is a Mahathief. He's a Mahathief. But Krishna will steal everything away from him and square out in this lifetime everything that he owes in all this 8.4 million species of life. He will square out. And we can become a little bug, parasite. Because to borrow the energy of somebody and never give him a return is a parasite. It's a parasite. So there are so many parasites existing. Why? Because they were the one. They were the one who did not give anything in return to Krishna. You know? They are the parasites. Some are symbiotic parasites, means somebody gives someone something in return, but not to Krishna. And still, they are parasites. One depends upon other. You know? It's a parasitic life. But coexistence is, in desire of the Lord, is more than simply symbiotic life. Symbiosis means simultaneously each other help each other. You know? For example, we used to learn in botany, the leguminous plant, you know, they have bacterial nodes in their roots. So they give nitrogen to the plant, so they make leguminous plants with full of protein like mung, beans and so many. Right? So the bacteria also lives with the tree and or with the plant, and the tree also gets benefit. Both benefit each other. That's called symbiosis. You know? We have also so many bacteria in our stomach. You know, in the large intestine, that they produce vitamin B12, and we get benefited. So they are called good bacteria, friendly bacteria. They call. But when you go to India and you got diarrhea, then they are no more friendly bacteria. You know? So like that. So symbiosis only for mutual benefit, self. For the purpose of only food. But devotee is so much conscious of Krishna alone. So he wants to serve Krishna and benefit Lord Krishna by giving this benefit to all others. So he's a friend to all. He doesn't have any enemy. It does not have any end. Those people who do not know the aim of life, their mind is the worst of their own enemy. They are carrying the enemy within themselves. You know? And because they do not know the purpose of this existence, they live a life of sense gratification. The life of sense gratification is very pathetic. Means devotees must become more compassionate on them, because these people are so much in darkness of ignorance that they are paving their miserable life in no time. Rajaputra Chiranjeeva. Those who desire of sense gratification life, then tell, long live, because you'll die soon. Better you long live. You know? It's a very sympathetic, you know, approach. Why? Because this person is totally in ignorance. More sense gratification he will do, more closer the death he will get. Right? Muniputra Majiva means the son of an ascetic, don't live, you die immediately. Son is in tender age, helping his father. He lives almost like father in ascetic situation. Means so much austerity he is observing right from the childhood. He must be liberated. Better die immediately. Why do you have to do for more years? Unnecessary austerities. You achieve this position right from childhood. We don't want our children to be, austere. Then, what will happen? We make them wrong. We want to treat them like Rajputra. Then, we'll spoil them. Yes. The children should be taught, reprimanded. So he'll come very nicely educated. Right? So that is the purpose, because you will be liberated. Those who have gone through little rough time in the beginning, they get very, very good result. If somebody is treated with discipline, to discipline him, whatever the method which is valid for that particular time, place and circumstances must be used to bring them to discipline. Because discipline is an austere process. And it will help them. It will give them the benefit even in the long run. So Muniputra Majiva. When a devotee wants the benediction, what he will get?
You
live or die according to your desire. Jivo va maroma. Either you live or die, whatever you choose. Because you are continuing your devotional service. It's a Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma. And the fourth one, the bull chair. A bull chair neither lives nor dies, because he's like a ghost himself. Right? The butchers look like ghosts. They behave like ghosts. Because they live in front of death. What could it be? Who can live in front of death? One is a ghost. He always feels that, he just died, but he has been dead for a long time, but because he is so much attached to that body, that he never forgets, so becomes ghostly, and he wants to haunt everybody, those who are embodied. So, all these situations are indicating that the purpose of life is to serve the Supreme Lord in all times. One should not spend a moment without Krishna consciousness. What is the best way to remain Krishna conscious? 24 hours a day. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Sada means 24 hours. Satatam Kirtayanto Maam Yatandaskar Bhagavata Namasyantascha Maam Bhaktya Nitya Yukta Vasa. That Kirtan, is glorification of the Lord. How many ways you can glorify the Lord? Activities.
Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasri.
9 days.
Yes, but you want to do, if you know only Shravanam, can you glorify all the ways? Why not? It is perfect. Parikshit Maharaj, simply by hearing, glorify the Supreme Lord. Isn't it? Hearing only. And Sukadeva Goswami, by Kirtanam. He chanted. He enumerated the glories of the Supreme Lord through his mouth. So, three ways we can engage ourselves all the time. Mind, words, and activities. Is it not? Satatam kirtayanta. So, kirtan can be done within the mind, kirtan can be done with the words, and kirtan can be done with the physical activity. Can you make your accountancy kirtan?
Yes.
Yeah. You can. Hello, I'm sorry.
That's not something.
If you can fight and it becomes kirtan, fighting can become kirtan. In fighting, somebody thumps, boom. Then there is a sound coming up, like a drum. Boom. So, don't you hear in a movie, if somebody punches him, without getting hurt, there is a boom. it's spontaneous. They fake it, but it is kirtan. Suppose Bhima punched somebody like Duryodhana, and the sound came boom, but he doesn't do, right? But it's a spontaneous sound that is the sound master, aids there. So it becomes kirtan, because Krishna told him, give this blow to Jarasandha, and then. When somebody dies, that kind of, music comes. That is also kirtan, isn't it? In Mahabharata, you must have seen so many things, with music in it. So this is also kirtan. So in this way we see, you can use everything. Mind, body, and mind, words, and activities in the service of Lord Krishna. So, do you think mind can ever sleep? Your mind is active all the time, isn't it? Or mind take rest sometime? If mind take rest, then some activities within the mind come up, pop up like, what? Dreams. So if you have dreams during that restless mind, resting now, and the dream forms, it is becoming active. So if you dream of Krishna and Krishna's pastimes, don't put yourself in it. Just you observe. don't see yourself that you are part of that dream. You are only a seer. Alright? Don't get involved there. It is bad to involve because it's a mental level. never try to involve yourself in the dream. You just say, I saw in my dream. Right? That way. But if you see Krishna, not yourself, but if you see Krishna in your dream, that the mind will think of, even in unconscious state. Right? Then, so mind is always active. Mind is restless. It doesn't want to rest. So it can do 24-hour kirtan. Right? Then, the words, how many hours do you speak continuously? How many hours? At least in the whole day, if you speak about 2 hours totally, then you should speak nothing but Krishna. Don't you have to chant 16 rounds? It takes exactly 2 hours. Right? Don't speak anything. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
And lastly, the rest of the time, you have to work. You have to engage in service. Can you remember in the work, Lord Shri Krishna? You are using his energies to do that work. Right? So, whose energy is this? Krishna. You can't manipulate. You may know, because you are trained to use this energy to produce something, results, right? But whatever your share in using that energy, offer it to Krishna. Krishna, this is yours. Whatever is produced out of using this energy, it's yours. Otherwise, it is 50-50 partner. I told you last time, right? 50-50 division. A businessman wants to engage all his activity in Krishna's service by making Krishna partner, because Krishna is investor of his energy. You get, the energy from him. So, said, okay, Krishna, I become your caretaker of all the energy. So let's divide into 50-50. All right? I don't have energy. But somehow or other, I want to engage in your service. So you invest all the 100% energy, I will work, and you give me the result, because I'm working on your behalf, 50-50. All right. So Krishna says, fine. So what you do, make a business. You get profit, right? So in the profit, you divide 50-50. Krishna, here is your profit. And I will take another 50%. But I have to divide this, because I have my entanglement to support that. Okay, 25% of that 50% is 50-50. Again, it's a division. Give to the family. Tell my dear home minister, please. Work it out. This is 50% of that. What are you going to do with that 50%? Take and make it as an emergency investment on your behalf, because this is your money. You're saving. So ask Krishna, let's invest 50-50 again. You're my partner. I have this reserve from my behalf, because that was my earning from serving you. So here I'm putting to invest more. So you take out 50% of Krishna's savings, and you have equal amount put in. Again, divide now 50-50. In this way, you keep on increasing the asset of your business, all right, which has been built by Lord Krishna's investment. Right, but because you are taking care, you are supposed to get the benefit too. And in this way, the total assets then you can finally divide into 50-50 and you go back home, back to Godhead, and donate everything of that Krishna's part. Otherwise, if you give it to your children, what will they do? Who knows? Better you do it yourself, right? And tell children, you start your 50% business with Krishna.
Yeah.
You should not be attached. You should be attached to serve Krishna. So in this way, all our indebtedness from the time immemorial can be paid, at least in this human form of life. However, how much we are going to pay back to Krishna, that is, you know, going to be continued. If Krishna is not satisfied, at least he will give you another human chance so you can do a better job and better business for him. Right? So that's a guaranteed thing. So never mind, you know, dividing 50-50 is not that bad bargain. It's a good bargain. So anyway, this is the way one can engage 24 hours in service of Krishna. Krishna will never get away from your mind, you know. So this is the true way to capture it. If you want to try Gopi's way, that's another business. This is for those who want to take the material benefit. They can start with 50-50. But those who want to give 100% to Lord Krishna and live for this, then they have to go Gopi's way. Gopis had to cry because Krishna wanted to test how much or how many percent they are giving, and they were perfectly 100% giving to Krishna. If a devotee gives 100% to Lord Krishna and Krishna does not give anything in return, then who becomes the debtor? Krishna. So Krishna can be easily captured in the heart, and they can never make him escape. That's the way it is. So this is called is the master of all sacrifices. If we are engaged in material activity, he should be enjoying all the results of our work. So anybody has any questions? Which way you want to go? Business way or 100%?
Start with 50-50.
Actually, I'm running one group, Bhakti Riksha group, like on alternate Fridays. So when people come, when I explain the thing that going gradual process, like through karma, you know, that is, they say that that is Vedic and that is how we are trained since our childhood. So now it's very difficult for us to like take this. We understand, but we still cannot give up our way of doing things. And well, I explained to them that in this age there is no time to go to in that process, because the bhakti is the easiest process for this age, just by chanting the holy name and doing this.
But see, to differentiate between karma and jnana, from bhakti, it is completely an impersonalist and Mayavadic philosophy. The influence of this has created a lot of disturbance. People do not understand that the jnana and dhyana or the karma they are not the requisite for the bhakti, but they do come along the way as the byproduct of bhakti. If you perform bhakti, you will definitely jnanam chat vairagyam ahitukam bhakti yoga prajna. So where is your faith? Why do you have to dwell on separate karma yoga and separate even jnana yoga? After all, yoga means the other end of connection is Krishna in both the cases. So why do you distinguish jnana yoga and dhyana yoga or karma yoga in between? What is the necessity? In Bhagavad Gita, nowhere Krishna is encouraging you to be either jnani or karma yogi. Never. You have right to perform the duty, but not in the result of it. Ma karma phala hetur burma. Asanga means where is the detachment? With bhakti it will come. Why do you have to go through the so-called that process which is not of any validity by its own stature? But because Mayavadis have infiltrated even the pious South Indian families, they read something which is completely contradictory, and we have also found, we come across this, and they adhere to some other Gita of their familiarity than Srila Prabhupada's Gita. Every time this is a stumbling block, but it is totally out of ignorance. They don't know what is bhakti meaning. They think by the British's influence they were given this particular mandate to create an influence on the core of the movement. Our faith was bhakti. Do you think bhakti could disappear that easily after Krishna and the gopis who exhibited the excellences in the bhakti? Do you think that otherwise why they are simply sticking to it, even though they don't know or they don't have access to it? In Vrindavan also there are so many Mayavadis and impersonalists that they have taken the contract of teaching Bhagavata. Even Adi Shankar refrained from commenting on Srimad Bhagavata. He wrote Sharirik Bhashya only on the Vedanta Sutra, But Vedanta Sutras, the first aphorism is the natural commentary Vyasadeva himself wrote, and that is Srimad Bhagavatam, and he did not touch that. He spoke Bhagavad Gita and he gave the commentary on Bhagavad Gita because it's the foundation of the philosophy. So, but you should never get discouraged because you have done some previous pious activity pertaining to bhakti. Therefore, Krishna has given you the opportunity to advance in bhakti. So, have faith alone on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. That is the most important thing. Otherwise, ananya. Bhakti, why it is emphasized? By rejecting jnana and karma, dāvṛtam, ānukurnena kṛṣṇānuśalanam bhakti-rūpam. We tend to interfere, even though it is not necessary, and then we get confused and we can't, protect the principles of bhakti.
But unfortunately, people generally are so much attracted to the flowery language of the West.
Now you got the opportunity to give up what is pratikulasya varje. One which is not favorable, kick it out. That is a cheating religion. Bhagavat kicks out. Why don't you kick out? Srimad Bhagavatam is kicking out all the cheating religions. Why don't we kick out? So to enter into the unmotivated, uncontaminated devotional service is the rarest of opportunity. Even Krishna says, forget it after many, many lifetimes, when a person who is in knowledge, when he comes to understand that Vasudevam Sarvatri, then he is called Mahatma. Otherwise, he is never called Mahatma. Something else. If not Mahatma, then who should he be? But in India, they are occupying high seats. And elsewhere also. So,
people in general, they are more attracted to the flowery language of the Vedas than to know the purpose of the Vedas.
They don't come. Maya, Brata, Jnana never surrenders to Krishna. They are duskritas. Krishna flatly tells them that they are miscreants. Duskritina means wrongdoers. They will dissuade you. Today, by my meditation, I will become Krishna. And tomorrow, I will become Jesus Christ. And third day, I will have mother's blessings on me. Today, I am Ram. Tomorrow, I will be Krishna. Prabhupada chastised them right from the roots. That's Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. That has nothing to do with bhakti.
Then other question, Maharaj. Krishna
has... I don't mind. I like to remember Srila Prabhupada and his anger towards all this.
Of course, like Krishna has spoken about this yoga ladder, like karma, jnana, ashtanga, and then bhakti. So, what was the reason? Of course, I know that people are not ready to take, but I want to hear from you. Why did Krishna has to give all this, although he is encouraging only bhakti, yoginam api sarvesham, finally in the first six chapters of the Gita, the last verse, 6.47,
right,
saying yoginam api sarvesham. So although Krishna is emphasizing more on bhakti, but still he is giving these other things also. So why what was the reason he spoke about, though...
The letter does not include jnana and karma. The letter includes Ashtanga Yoga. Ashtanga Yoga is Yama Niyama Asan Pranayam Pratyahar Dharana Dhyanam Samadhi. Right? So, one is a physical discipline. Right? And the other is a mental discipline. But when it comes to the Dharana, conceptual means it's intellectual discipline. Right? And through the intellectual discipline, then you can meditate on the ultimate target and samadhi. You come into that union of the Supreme Lord with yourself in trance. But there you do not know anything what to do with him. Even though he appears in your heart, you simply bow down and that's about it.
Shanti rasa?
Of course.
No service.
There are some meditations that involve service and they get a little bit. Just like that yogi got his finger burnt. Right? Yeah, that is only a person.
So what my question actually was, why did Krishna give all these thoughts?
No, that's what I said. That he does not include jnana and karma. He includes only Ashtanga Yoga. Ashtanga Yoga is not jnana and karma. It doesn't come in the letter. It doesn't come in the letter. It's a physical discipline, mental discipline, and that intellectual discipline is there. The intellectual discipline on the conceptual aspect. The concept. What kind of concept do you have for the Supreme? Impersonal, personal, localized, what? Then Krishna will be available to us. Why does Krishna want Arjun to be the best yogi called Bhakta Yogi? Why? Why he is calling him the best yogi? And why he is recommending Arjun don't become Gyani? Gyani? Because a Bhakta Yogi is the best Karma Yogi, is the best Dhyan Yogi, and best Gyana Yogi too. Nobody knows the Supreme Absolute Truth Personality of Godhead except the Bhakta. Others are trying to know only in part. So they make, but how is it? What makes it different? It is nothing but enviousness. Do you think Krishna wants to recommend any process that keeps one envious of him? That, he doesn't recommend that. Only thing is that he is not available to them. He is not available to them. Krishna doesn't recommend that ladder. The ladder starts only in the astanga system.
In the whole of yoga ladder, like when we studied Bhakti Shastri, we were taught like first is uncivilized, then it's karma, like civilized people, then sakama karma, then nishkama karma, then vana.
Our Vedic study is only for civilized people. We don't mention even uncivilized. Uncivilized were unable to purify themselves in the three yugas. Only civilized were able to purify in Satya Yuga by austerity, in Treta Yuga by sacrifice, and Dwapar by worship. They were all civilized people. Uncivilized were not given access to anything. But in Kali Yuga, even uncivilized will be purified by chanting
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
See? That's bhakti. Surpasses everything. So why should we start bhakti with uncivilized liver?
No.
It gives the benefit. Haridas Thakur says that even by mistake somebody chants the holy name once, consider he is a Vaishnava. And that holy name alone in some time space is going to fructify. Any other questions? What is the question? Kids have questions too.
Do you have any questions?
Yes.
Well, like once we get the faith that we need to chant and we'll go back. So can the liver actually, will that faith go away? In this lifetime or the next lifetime?
Why should it go away?
I mean, just...
When you have determination, then it should not go away.
Only bad association.
If you are taking it for granted, then, I mean, if you are not worshipping the process, if you are not putting your energy, then, means if you stop desiring, then it will go away. Otherwise, not. Go away means it will be there, at least up to whatever you have achieved. That is not going to be destroyed. But you will stop progressing. Maybe you will regress. But the asset is kept well with Krishna. And he will afford you second chance. He's so compassionate. He doesn't punish you. Probably your the Maya, you know, the custodian of material energy, she might punish you for offending Krishna. That's her job, in fact. She's a Narayani, you know. Not that Krishna is making you. Krishna says, I do not take any pious activity or any sinful activity.
When we talk of Mayavadis and the
impersonalists, yes,
they make various commentaries on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, mm-hmm. and other things which are like sometimes bogus, most time bogus. As
you can recognize that you are intelligent.
But now these two statements, like as you just mentioned, Haridas Thakur said, even once utters the name of the Lord, he is to be called a Vaishnava or a devotee.
We have to respect them, but we have to see.
So can we call the Mayavadi Vaishnavas? Mm-hmm. I mean,
no,
they have uttered the name of the Lord.
Don't you consider anybody who chants, however they chant, they are all Vaishnavas. Because you have a heart of Vaishnava, you are a devotee of Vaishnava. Everybody for you is connected. That is the highest. And yesterday we saw that the three categories of development in devotional service. Uttam Adhikari doesn't discriminate between devotees, non-devotees. But it doesn't mean that he has to waste his time behind them and converting them. Because they are offenders. And offenders can be only absolved of their offenses if they understand and beg their forgiveness to whom they offended.
No, Maharaj, my question was, should we call them Vaishnavas?
Why should you call?
Because they are...
Yeah, but make a reservation. Don't make the definition so cheap.
That is what.
But Haridas did not make, because he was on the highest stage. If you are not in highest stage, Haridas was so compassionate on anybody. Even those tormentors of him, he was compassionate on them, who were beating him in 22 marketplaces simply for chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Because they were given contract to kill him by slashing in 22 marketplaces. And yet he was not been killed. So Haridas became very compassionate on them. Because of me not dying, now you will die, have to die in my place. Oh, that's not good. This is Vaishnava heart. And he was compassionate. Okay, let's do. I will go away. Right? And then you throw me, please, in Jamuna. She will take care of it. And he stopped his heart by, all the yogic process people do, but Haridas did not have to do. He desired and it manifest. And then they threw him away, thinking, oh, Haridas mar gaya. As soon as, Jamuna statue was there, Haridas was purified, again came to his, full-blown devotional service, and he swam across the other town. So, thing is that we don't have to. If we are not on the level of Haridas Thakur, then we are told not to associate with them. If we artificially create a kind of so much compassion, then we will be ruined. Mayavadi Bhashya Sunila, who is Sarvanash? If we go and end up mixing up with them, no, because, well, Maharaj told that one could chant once, you know, he's you know, a Vaishnava. But then, that is Haridasa's level of understanding. That is called highest level. It is approved by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know. So, we can't imitate those things. But nonetheless, to understand the fact that anyone who chants the holy name, Haridas was so, you know, hopeful for him that his life is now successful. Human form of life doesn't begin even unless and until one chants the Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
That is the name.
Srila Gurudev, that statement of Haridas Thakur was made with an intention that we should never offend any living being.
Yes, but Haridas Thakur's statement was endorsed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who wrote this Harinam Chintamani. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that especially the householders be aware to offend. Such as, because in the extent of our entanglement, you know, we may not be able to perceive the exalted realization of Haridas Thakur, right? So as far as possible, you know, at least we refrain to insult such a Mayavadi impersonalist. But for argument's sake, to nullify their argument, you know, Prabhupada can become like a lawyer and you know, tell he borrows the words from Lord Shri Krishna to call them rascals.
Mudras. Mudras. Mudras.
So, but other living entities that we are not interested, like Jada Bharat, was not interested to even kill an ant, you know? Now people use shut out. And they say, well, here it is like that, what can we do?
Yeah, when the plane comes.
The sprays are used to target to stun them. And Prabhupada had a simple formula, you know. If you are inviting them, then they are your guests. if you clean, keep everything so neat clean and clean, they will never come. They like the dirt, and if you are making the house dirty, you are inviting them. So they are your guests. So
you
treat them nicely. Treat them nicely. It's your fault. So take their karma on you. A devotee remains in conflict, you know, if he doesn't understand in proper context, you know. He said, I'm chanting, I'm trying to get purified, and this is coming in my way. And if I just remove this obstacle, you know, by hook or crook, whatever it is, you know, then what's wrong? My devotional said, I'm rid of this particular problem. But as far as the life principle is concerned, how can you offend? Why don't you keep everything so neat and clean? There are other methods to stop them too. Right. But you are lazy bum. They don't want to do. They don't want to do. You know? They want to keep the clean, scrub the floor nicely so they don't smell anything. Right? Yes, because most of us get into a second-hand house, you know, and the problems are left by the previous owner, you know, and we inherit this thing, right? But we should also be aware that there must be, you know, other living entities residing, right? Mm. So how can you harm them? But actually, within our own body, there are so many residing, you know, and by taking this forbidden things, you know, this meditating, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex, all these are actually harmful to the living entities within the body. That is self-inflicted, you know, offenses to the living entity, if you want to see.
Mm.
But your ego says, it is my body anyway. Whatever I like, I do. No, you have been given this body to use as a vehicle so you can serve Krishna. After all, you are not this body. Why are you so much attached? Dadichi Muni, he was a very big devotee, you know, and he was meditating all the time, you know, and he became so powerful through his meditation that only Krishna knew, you know. But what will the best use of his body? How he can sacrifice his body, you know, in my service. So during the fight with Rudrasur and the demigods, you know, the demigods have to go and ask, you know, take the help of Brahma, so some means to eradicate this, eliminate this asura. And the Lord replied, why don't you go and ask the Dadichi Muni? Ask. You are my servant. Now in your service the demons are obstructing, so you can't serve me the way I want.
Mm.
So if that is the reason, why don't you go and ask the Dadichi Muni? Tell him to give his bones. You know? So you make a weapon called Vajra out of it, and then it will be able to kill.
Mm.
Otherwise not.
Mm.
So they were all defeated. And just to remind Indra about the Vajra to be made, you know, Vritrasura had to educate him. That this is called bhakti. Go and make my day. When are you going to kill me? Come on. And he was so ghastly that Indra would not come out of his, you know, palace. He would hide. He was under bodily conception. And Vritrasur was a liberated person within the demon's body. So, finally, you know, Vritrasur said, look at Maya is working in such a way, you know, that you think you are the most powerful, you know, but with the power itself is engulfing you and making you in ignorance. And you better go and ask the Dadichi Muni, you know, come on, because I'm waiting for my imminent relief. You know? So then, as if like the ceasefire was conducted, and then the demigods went to the Dadichi Muni, and the Dadichi Muni was told, please give your bones, we want to make Vajra, and the Dadichi said, why should I give you? I'm attached to my body too. Why should I give you? Then they could not convince by any answer. But then Brahma remembered that, well, we prayed for the Lord, And the Lord said that because you are a great devotee, you are benevolent, for the cause of your fellow devatas and please, this is a formidable enemy. You know? And so Dadiji Muni said, oh, why didn't you tell me in the first place that the Lord has instructed you? I could have given rider, please take, be my guest, take my bones. So the demigods killed Dadiji Muni, pure devotee, and he did not mind to be killed. You know? While we mind to kill, not ourselves, but the other living entities. Dadiji Muni is such an example. Even mine. Okay, kill my body. You know, take the bones and make a weapon. And then he did. Because that is the command of the Lord. Yeah. Only on the command of the Lord you can sacrifice. That is called devotional service. So, devotional service in one way is not counteracting the devotional service of Nataraja. He was Chitraketu, not ordinary. And he was educated by Lord Shankarshan himself. Yet Parvati gave him the curse. So to play such a, you know, he never forgot within the demon's body that he is a devotee. And he acted in a very prudent way. Parvati was given a right answer by Chitraketu. My dear mother, you are right in your position, but I am also right in my position. And Lord Shiva commanded Chitraketu, he quoted, Parvati, you should not have done this. You do not know what a demon means. Only Mahadev can. A devotee knows the devotee. Yeah? So we have to understand that we are not envious of anybody, either Mayavadi or impersonalist, but the highest welfare of activity is to preach. Somebody was asking Srila Prabhupada in recent conversation in Kutamaya Gauranga's daily center, said, one person said, Srila Prabhupada, why is that you have come all the way from India to preach us your philosophy in the West? And Prabhupada said, well, it is the natural function of devotees who are compassionate to see others' miseries and help them. So we go out. Don't you have a system of good Samaritans, in Christianity? So here we are also good Samaritans. We see that most of the people in the West are nothing but victims of Maya. And I'm here to help you guys. What's wrong? Sometimes we counter-argue. What do we need? Here, we are already, you know, Krishna conscious in the West, but most is needed in India. Why don't you go to India? That was Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, everyone who got training in the West, they should go to India and help. Because India is infested. Nobody is ready to listen. There are so many impersonalists in Mayavadi. So, to increase the strength, to counteract on the impersonalists and Mayavadi's attack, that virtually kept India in the most ignorant state, we should go. And that's the command. It's not other way around.
Maharaj, this is plants. So, for example, vegetarians eat everything out of the plants. Like, for example, some curries we make out of leaves and fruit. The fruits we use and the other things we use. Some level of pain is being caused to the plants. So, particularly when we eat like a root type of the things, which are really taking out the whole plant out, is it painful to the plants? Or you are really killing even plant also? Is that way? So, if you see in that fashion, you know, how you can.
It's not like that. You know, we are not sentimentalists, first thing. Second thing, we are sensitive people. What is ordained as vegetarian, you know, that is the, what you call, rule, jivo jivasya jivanam, one life subsists on another life. The body is storing the food. So therefore, that food is also for the plant as well as for others, those who can live. Because simultaneously, 8.4 million species of life have been created. It's not that one life was created after, and then second life was created. No, no. You know, simultaneously. And therefore, the inclination of the food system developed in such a way that this is a cooperative means. You know, one life subsists on another life. The bodies are food. Therefore, food from one body is taken to make another body. This is the natural law. But in sensitiveness, that we should also take only without necessarily killing the living entity. Exterminating is not necessarily involved in vegetarian. When you take out the roots of the whole plant, but that root is also implanted and many plants are coming out from that. Like potatoes, for example. Alright? After a certain time, the potato is harvested. When the leaves and everything gets yellow, then the potato harvest is done. The potato stores the food in the stems, which are called tubers. And one potato has so many eyes, or the eggs, the birds are there. It can be planted and multiplied. Alright? So, then it is only a matter of, you know, giving the chance for other living entities to come and reside in that plant, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, there is no necessity of exterminating the plant system. Second thing is that for grains and beans, you do not kill the whole plant. When the natural process of drying out the plant is there, then and then you take.
Yeah,
for example, fruits and leaves and other things, you do not have to destroy the whole tree or plant.
Exactly.
You know, so it's the most minimal inconveniences are given in the vegetarian system.
Right. Out of all those things, picking
even the karma, you think you are talking about karma. Like you are saying that we are causing pain, that's also like karma, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Then we offer to the Lord and eat, then there is no karma.
Oh, no. I'm just not worried whether you offer it or not. Somebody eats meat also, offers it.
Okay, there is consciousness in the plant, there is, but they also feel some portion of not like sentient resistance. They feel pain also. But the point is most minimal. I'm saying the most minimal inconvenience then. It is the same way. Otherwise one life cannot sustain on another life. Right? To live on the body of others, whether alive or dead, we prefer dead bodies of the plant. Like in the grains and other, where the germination is still possible, You know? So the life system is there. Even in the dry grains, life system is still there. The potentials are still there. Right? So at what extent are you going to escape? But create the most minimal. Otherwise, ahastani, sahastani, dvipadani, chatuspadani, what is the next word? Jivo, jivasya, jivanam. This is Narad Muni studying. That the those who do not have hand becomes the food for those who have hands. there's a system. And those who are, you know, minor, they become the food for the bigger. Big fish, small fish. Small fish are eaten by the big fish.
Meat becomes food for the strong.
Naturally. If the intelligence of human did not invent a weapon, otherwise they were also the food for dinosaurs. Right? Anyway. We have to go by nature's law. The body is a product of the nature. And the nature ordains or dictates the food habit. But man is omnivorous by enviousness. He's not carnivorous, he's not herbivorous, he's omnivorous. And yet he is not satisfied. Even if he eats anything and everything, in Kaliyuga they are eating their own children even. So, but yet they are not satisfied. Why? Because their stomach is upside down. Hanging. This is a peculiarity of human being, the ninth creation of Brahma. Arvak strutrutu namam shattam ego vidondrana rajo adhika karma para dukhecha sukamam. His stomach is upside down. Means he is going to violate the nature's law.
So Maharaj, this verse is from
where? Third canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. Maitreya Muni is teaching Vidur about the creation. Brahma creates 9 different types. I mean, sorry, 10 different types of living entities classified. The 9th type is called human being. 10th is demigods and demons. Right. So, he said this number 9 called Nara is very, very peculiar. and he is describing that his stomach is upside down. It came on the stomach. Stomach is the only most distinguishable factor for the human than the other animals. It said he stood on 2 legs. Therefore, the horizontal stomach became perpendicular. Right? It means here is something pertaining to the stomach. Don't you think the stomach is the only reason that we have to discriminate everything and everything? We have to eat, first of all, to survive the body. And we can give up all kind of discrimination and come to Melbourne even. It's for the sake of stomach. Stomach, it's called pet. And pet is papi. It's called papi. They will induce to do. And therefore, Rupa Goswami said, then Udaraveg is very, very bad. If we control, then we will make disciples all over the world.
Vacho Vedam Manasaso Vedam Jiva Vedam Purvastha Vedam Etan Vedan Yojaya Dhira Sarvam Abhimam Purvim Shashishya. So all glory is the stomach. Mahaprasade See? All glory is the stomach. We got it. Krishna is so kind that he has given you prasad. So, fill up the tank. But chant Hare Krishna. Say Ananda Pal, Radha Krishna.
But Prabhu, just now you said that we can offer it to Krishna. We can't offer Krishna meat, God or anything.
And someone does that, thinking the same thing because he has killed. So first he will offer that. If somebody thinks like that, the way I offer it, he also offers his food.
But he doesn't understand that the meat is produced by the grains. Annad Bhavanti Bhutan. All the bodies are made by the grains. Ultimate is just. So why not grains? But he is envious. He is going to violate the nature's law.
In Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that there's six type of this conspirators against the living of other living entity. Yes. All six are implicated in the karma.
One who orders to kill, another who kills, third one who skins off, fourth one who is distributing, fifth one is one who cooks, and sixth one who eats. They are equally punishable.
Implicated in the whole of karma.
Equally punishable.
What is the kind of living entities Brahma created?
The first eight, the lower animals up to four-legged. Okay. Right? Ninth is human, tenth is demons and demigods.
Humans?
Ninth is divisions of creation in that chapter, no? This one. Achha. Divisions of creation in the Bhagavatam. It's there in Bhagavatam.
In some portion of Vedas where the tantric advise those who have inclination to eat meat, they should kill a lower animal. So the Prabhupada said that at the maximum they can kill buffalo, but not cow. And in Nepal, there are a lot of buffalo being killed every day. In Kathmandu, you go, people go with their buffalo. The Hindus go for that. Because they are living on the tantric aspect. But it is very base qualities. And they are tamasic people. They resort to violence only. So they are never happier. They appease demigods with their offerings, and demigods don't like because Krishna doesn't. Nowhere in any religious scriptures, whether it's in Bible or in Quran, is ever written to kill a cow. Because those who are virtually rebellious against the law of the Lord, somehow or other, by hook or crook, they have been, by great evil, they have been given this kind of commands. Even though the Lord says that this is not my preference, not that of the blood or of the flesh, thy Lord likes. But the virtuous deeds of yours will be the only one that pleases the Lord. This is written in Quran. But they declare it on the Eid day especially. Where, you know, sacrifices to be given. Ramadan and all others. You know.
So they take their
small children to the market, pick up your sacrifice, pick up. The baby says, okay, go. This is virtuous deed. They themselves do not want to make any sacrifice of their own. They pick up a goat. That was it. They can never come to Sattvic Bhakti. So therefore, these are the distinguishing factors. But is it not a fact that these bhavas are there? You can check, you can examine. Ah, which one you want to prefer?
Sorry? No.
How do you want to stay in that bhava? Okay. How did we naturally come together? Because there is a desire. That desire is very conducive to be peaceful and happiness within this material world. And we know that only uniting factor is Lord Shri Krishna, who is pervaded as Paramatma in each and every one's of heart. Therefore, we all try to please Him, simply glorifying Him. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much, Prabhupada.